Cosa? Okay, it's 7 o'clock on Wednesday, October 28th. This is the Nederland Fire Protection District Board of Directors special meeting for October the 28th, 2020, for operational matters. This meeting is being recorded. We'll start with roll call. Excuse me. Ian Irwin Powell, I'm present. Patrick Richardson?
Present.
Todd Weisler?
Present.
Ray Willis?
Present.
Henry Zerberg?
Yes.
And I believe Chief Dave's with us as well?
Present.
So the board has quorum. I'm going to call this meeting to order at 1902. I mailed you all the agenda yesterday. There's one addition to it. There's one extra public statement that I will read. And then some information from CPS that I will share with you. Because I spoke to them today about light duty. Make a motion we approve the meeting agenda. A second.
Okay.
Patrick, you happy with the agenda?
Yeah.
Ray, happy with the agenda?
Yes.
Henry, are you happy with the agenda?
Yep.
Okay. We have no minutes to approve from the previous meetings. I just want to start out with a quick apology on the record. We made a modification to our mail list server that may have resulted in some returned emails. Some of those would probably have been addressed to the board. It broke our board and members' email lists. It took us a couple of days to realize. I don't have the access to the mail logs to confirm or deny if messages were bounced from the server. If anyone received a returned message mailing the board, please send it again. And as I said, this change affected all of our internal mail aliases and was an unintended consequence of a new website configuration. On that note, we have received a number of four emails in support of the chief. I will read those into the record. One second. First email from Alan Stark, and I've already forwarded all of these to you, the board, but we need to read them into the record. Gentlemen, this is a letter in support of Rick Durr. In late 2013, the Forest Service contacted Bryan Mountain Nordic Ski Patrol and asked us to patrol the trails in the Boulder Ranger District, including Hesse and West Magnolia. One of the first problems we had to negotiate was establishing an equipment cache where patrollers could sign in, pick up charged radios, spot units, hand saws, and a jump bag containing more sophisticated medical gear than we carry in our vests, and could sign out after they had finished a patrol. When we contacted him, Rick Durr immediately understood that we were trained and equipped to keep people safe in the backcountry, and that our patrollers could cover a good deal of ground in the backcountry, keeping people safe. Not only a winter safety patrol, not only a winter safety and patrol multiplier in and around Nederland, but also in the Boulder Ranger District. He offered us access to the fire hall, a place to store our gear, and ongoing encouragement to continue patrolling. During our time at Ned Fire, we have met and interacted with the paid staff and most of the volunteers. Rick made a point of introducing us to the Ned firefighters and making sure that they understood our mission. With COVID-19, Rick faced a difficult decision about allowing us to continue using our cache. He said his first responsibility was his crew and that we were not to show up with a temperature, COVID-19 symptoms, or known contact with COVID patients. Further, we were not to have any of our usual contact with firefighters, and he mandated that we quickly enter and leave the building through the north door instead of coming through the west door. We appreciate being able to continue our patrols during this difficult period. As background, Brian Mountain Nordic Ski Patrol was the first Nordic patrol at Eldora and has been in existence for over 40 years. We currently have 90 volunteer ski patrollers who regularly patrol the backcountry trails of the Boulder Ranger District and at Devil's Thumb Resort in Tabernash. In 2018, we were named the outstanding Nordic patrol in the nation. All patrollers must complete a medical recertification every year and recertify for CPR for healthcare professionals every 2 years. Since 2013, we have completed almost 400 patrols in the Boulder Ranger District. We are grateful for the support we have received from Net Fire. We wish to continue this relationship, but we wouldn't be the backcountry safety and patrol multiplier that we are now without Rick's support. We owe him this letter of support. That's Alan Stark, backcountry coordinator of the Brian Mountain Nordic Ski Patrol. The second letter from Lexi Armitage from Netherlands, NFPD Board of Directors. As I write this, we all share the experiences of living with COVID, national political division, and 6 forest fires burning here in northern Colorado. Additionally, locally, we are disturbed watching the politics of our own NFPD. This is a good time to be kind and cooperative. I applaud Henry Zerbrug's Mountaineer letter to the editor dated September 1st, 2020. While I don't know the inside workings of NFPD, I do care deeply that Chief Durr and his family be treated with the respect they have well earned and deserved from the NFPD. I have worked as a general contractor, spec home builder in our Boulder Gilpin Mountains over the past 25 years. Chief Durr played a critical part in the development of fire protection policies for the Boulder County Land Use Department. It is Rick's local experience, pragmatic approach, and realistic common sense that made his input to the process so very valuable. From driveways to sprinkler systems, community systems to fire mitigation, Durr is the reason that we have the most reasonable and effective regulations possible. The Durr family has lived and breathed our community's first responder needs personally, as they have left many a family dinner or missed it altogether to save a soul in need. I find it especially insulting that Rick has been publicly shamed for his daughter's participation in NFPD. It is appalling that she is not welcome at the NFPD. Isn't this example of a young person carrying on a family passion and tradition and taking it to a professional level exactly what we as families and a community strive for? I am so very proud of all the Durrs for their dedication and contributions to Netherlands. Chief Durr has always been professional, available, helpful, and positive. He is a pillar of our fine community. Let's show him the respect that he has earned. I support Chief Durr wholeheartedly. Sincerely, Lexi Armitage. The third email I received from Bonnie Carroll, a Netherlands resident. To our most honourable public servants of all stripes, board, volunteers and fire department staff, I'd like to speak to my desire that Rick and Kate be retained on the fire department. To begin with, I'm sorry each Netherlander can't have the fire chief living right down the road. It's a very reassuring neighbour to have. My interactions with Chief Durr and family have always been quite positive, whether as a neighbor or a recipient of fire services. Here are some instances that make me want to keep the family in the community and on the fire department. Years ago, Rick found one of my students lost and stuck on a snowy, slippery road. Rick towed her out, got her car safely to my house, where she was headed. way beyond the call of duty from a neighbor I hardly know. I think he likes to help people, in this case, a total stranger. The fire department response to the Cold Spring fire saved our house and many more in the neighborhood. I was quite happy as one of the residents of Sherwood Road who didn't lose our house. From what I can see, Rick made the right decisions at the right times, worked for us. A few months before COVID-19, Rick came to our house in the wee hours of the early morning when our fire alarm system malfunctioned and alerted you kind firefighters. He disconnected our malfunctioning alarm and never even lectured us about the malfunction, regardless of how many people we probably awakened. He was pleasant, friendly, and even humorous at 4 a.m. Today, I passed Rick on the road with what looks to be a load of firefighting equipment in his truck, and I was relieved that perhaps the current fires have inspired the department to put an emphasis on fighting fires with the most experienced and dedicated lifers, as well as all the volunteer and professional staff we have, all together doing the best job they can to protect us and themselves, as you have done all the 30 years we've lived here. I sincerely hope that the current difficulties in the fire department can be worked out without losing Rick and Kate and family as neighbors and fire chiefs. In fact, I hope we don't lose anyone. We need all of you. Saint Bonnie. And then the last one I've received is, I believe it's Tanea Piper, Nederland resident. Dear board members, I am writing in support of Rick Dare as Nederland Fire Chief. It is my opinion that he has done an outstanding job of keeping our community safe over many years. During this time of strife, please remember to look at the positives and find it within yourselves to forgive any missteps. By focusing on appreciating what Rick has done for this community, you can create more positive actions and an even stronger and more cohesive fire department and relationship among town departments, board members, and community members. At a time when our nation is so divided, wouldn't it be amazing if Nederland could lead the way as a town of acceptance and cohesiveness? I want to thank you for your time and all that you do for our community. Sincerely, Tanea Piper, Tanea Piper, Nederland resident. At that point, I'll ask if there's any further public statements or comments that anyone would like to make. Okay, moving on. So a general outline of this meeting for those who are on it. The first part is our standard current operational meeting. We have a special executive session tabled in the latter part of the meeting, which at this time the chief has not informed me if he would like it to be public or private. So it will be private unless that changes. If we do move to a private meeting, we will have the discussion that I will explain in the special executive session motion, and then we'll return to the public meeting for the results of that. So moving on with our operational report. The leak of 5601 is still ongoing, creating a lot of stress for one of our shift officers. He can't figure out what's going on with it. And I've had discussions with him as well, and it doesn't make much sense. But we're continuing to look into that, see if we can figure that one out. So we still have 56.2 as our primary engine in station one. Everybody got a refresh in how to chain vehicles on the weekend.
Hang on, Ian. It's Ryan. Just on 5601. Can we start to develop a policy about not doing repairs in-house? Because it seems like looking at some of this stuff, apparently it might have been a botched repair from earlier in the last 12 months, but I think we're, it's been out of service for quite a while now. And I just think we're not quite cutting the mustard these days. Nothing against Charlie, but we're spending a lot of time and a lot of hours and getting zero results because this is kind of out of our scope. I'm just asking for the board to look to the future, saying like, we're going to send this stuff out of house.
Yeah. So I had a conversation about that today, about how many hours he had got into this. And, you know, whether it's really a good use of his time and the district money to try and do this. So, yes.
Yeah, I'm just voicing my opinion, so.
It's something that has occurred to me as well. All of our resources were demoed from fires this week. Ryan has been busy trying to figure out all of the recharge for that and all the billing for it. So thank you, Ryan, for doing that. It's pretty complicated because we had people rotating in and out of vehicles on that 24-hour basis, but the vehicle was staying there. So there's more work than would normally occur if we'd just done a normal deployment. So I'll let the board know once we know the totals for all of that. But Ryan did give me, we had 5631 out on Calwood for a week. And that billing came to $11,500. So that's pretty good news in terms of that. And I know that our resources were very gratefully received on both Left Hand and Calwood when we went there. And we've had some pretty good feedback about our participation in those. I'd just like to say, obviously, we would prefer not to have our vehicles out of district at this time. But conditions as they are, and the fact that there's almost no resources anywhere, and these are our neighbors, means that really we kind of were obligated to do that. And I think it was a good thing for us to do. And I know that our neighbors would do that for us. On that note, we ended up with a couple of broken nozzles on the brush trucks, mostly through age, it appears. They were just either jammed up or looked like they'd been perhaps dragged behind the vehicle at some point. And I believe the plan is to replace those because they were combination nozzles, just replace them with general purpose wildland nozzles. So they're cheaper to replace if we need to, and keep a combination nozzle on the vehicle if we needed to use one, if we felt that was necessary. Ryan's been working on an EMS mini grant, which I believe is just for the county. You might be able to fill me in on this if I get it wrong, Ryan. But we've got an application in for a new airway train ahead, which was in is in next year's budget as well.
I'm actually working on it. It's due in about 2 weeks, so it's zero match. So probably by the time everything's done, it'll be next year, but it's a zero on the budget item because there's no match.
Right. Okay. That's awesome. Thank you for that. Speaking of grants, we got notice today that all of our grants did not get approved. All of our outstanding grants did not get approved. So that's pretty sad news. So that was the recruitment and retention grant, the mitigation grant, the Lucas grant, and we haven't heard on the radio grant, but I think with our expectation is that that also looks in jeopardy.
Yeah, it kind of seems like since I was getting all the decline emails literally 5 minutes apart, I tried to reach out to Jen Hinderman at Timberline, but I would bet money that they got declined too. I looked at the awards page. Nothing has been updated since September 23rd. So I think they're just sending out the Dear John letters to everybody now. So I will actually dig into it and follow up to see why we got declined, because being declined at such a broad level, to me, says that there was something possibly clerically wrong. I don't know. So right. I will dig into it. I'm not just going to let it die on the vine.
Okay. Okay, I appreciate that. Any board questions regarding the operational report?
I mean, I came across something this afternoon. This would be a good time.
Yeah. I need to speak up a bit.
Sorry. So it sounds like there was a antifreeze leak notice on the drip pan where 44 sat. With my wrestling match with 5601 in station 2 today, I noticed a large puddle under 5644 over there. Got into it, found a significant amount of antifreeze all over the engine compartment in two different places. I found a couple hose clamps on the back of the motor that were loose. Those have been tightened, and I sort of tightened the hose clamp on the front of the motor as well. I don't know if that fixed it, if it made it better or anything like that, until we take it out and drive it.
Yeah.
As far as I understand, that's not our truck. I believe that's a, what is it, Colorado Department of Fire Prevention and Control truck, I think. Is that right, Ryan? Anyway, I don't think the motor side of that is our responsibility. You know, I don't want to waste anybody's time, but the leak, from what I found on the floor, was substantial enough to voice some concern.
Okay.
So if I get a chance, I'm working for Ryan the next 2 days, so I'll try to dig into who to call for that.
Okay. Thanks for letting us know.
Is there a title or a registration for that vehicle around?
I don't know.
Maybe.
A couple other things that weren't mentioned. We had prepped 5622 to help evacuate Estes Park Medical Center last week. The batteries were 100% dead. I was able to cobble some stuff together, get the vehicle ready to go, loaded, and then they called us off.
Is there any follow-up action?
So 5622 was unplugged, and I had noticed it, this was probably 2 weeks ago, and that the batteries were dead, but I know that 22 is on the slate to get rid of it, so I don't think we've moved forward on buying $400 or $500 in batteries for it just yet. So right now we have a battery here. I put a battery in from here. I actually went to my house, pulled a battery out of one of my cars, and put it in. So it's still functional.
Okay.
Is the yellow engine, is that on its way out, or what's the story with that?
I don't know about the yellow engine. The plow truck was moved this week. That's out of there. The red truck. I did ask Jim to follow up on it. He told me it was supposed to be this past Wednesday, but I was there today and it was still there. We also have the problem with the plow. Our main plow, we were able to fix that this past weekend as well.
Plows. The joys of the first time plowing. I had no heat in my plow truck, which I can tell you is makes plowing even less fun than it usually is. I'm sure we've all been there. Okay, anything else? Any other comments from the board?
Ian?
Yes.
It's Rick.
Hi, Rick.
5644 is part of the FEPP program. So the state holds the title. They verify that we have it and they come and do a routine inspection. But as far as I know, the
the repair and maintenance stuff is on us on that particular truck. But they're typically willing to kind of help us with some of that. Whereas the yellow truck, that all those repairs are typically on them.
Got it. Thank you for clarifying that. What's the yellow? 5640 is the yellow, isn't it?
Correct.
I'll make that English later. Moving on to old business, no movement on the Cascade, I believe, unless you've got an update for me, Ryan.
Rick, again, David Bowling, I believe, is the name of the service rep that will work on Mako. And I'm not sure if AirPro is his company. I can research it. I just kind of caught wind of the Cascade issue a day or two ago. But there is a guy locally that has some experience with it, and I can try and dig that up for you.
Okay, that'd be good. We're having problems finding and identifying parts for it.
Okay.
The COVID public education policy, still in the movement there. It's been, a busy week. I saw an email this afternoon that said that we are going to do something or intending to do something for Trick or Trunk and the crossing patrol. I had an officers meeting yesterday, a meeting with the officers yesterday where we discussed this. I left that up to them if they wanted to participate in those with the instruction that obviously needs to be socially distanced, nobody in vehicles, masks, etc., all the usual COVID-19 precautions that we expect. On that note, I looked at the stats for Boulder County this week. In the last month, the number of cases in Boulder County has quadrupled, which is kind of disturbing to see. We were doing reasonably well, I thought, and then suddenly not. So just a note really to everyone that COVID is back. I don't think there's any doubt in that if you look at the national figures as well. So we just need to be on our COVID precautions at all times. Still uploading content to the new website. Again, it's a time issue. 2021 budget, I worked on that over the weekend. I've got three options that I'll send out to the board for you to look at. And we can discuss them. We need to discuss them in next week's meeting. Ready to adopt the budget in December. We won't know our actual potential mill income or property tax income until November 16th, I believe. So it'll kind of be middle of the month before we make a decision fully on that, on which direction we want to take. The concealed weapons, I'm working on a draft policy for that. I hope to get that done this, at least in a draft state this weekend.
So Ian, can I comment on this?
Yes.
This needs to be resolved, the concealed weapons policy, because I'm having new recruits show up armed. And when I'm in a training with new recruits and someone is flashing me their gun saying like, hey, this is okay, I was told it's fine, that's not really good.
Okay.
So we have no policy and I have no leg to stand on, but to me, guns don't belong in the fire station.
Noted. I'll work on that this week. I know we've had discussions about it. I know the direction that we intend to go. So.
I'm just pointing out that it's a very present issue.
Copy. Wildland deployments, I had a very, very long discussion with the command staff yesterday about that. That got into lots of deep, dark corners. but they all had some very, very good ideas about how we should look at doing wildland deployments and organizing those. And I think the last couple of weeks have focused people's minds a little bit more on how to do that and how much equipment and staff should be leaving district. So I believe I left that with you guys, Charlie?
Ryan and Rick,
we're going to look into that and start writing it. Putting together.
Yeah, that's correct. We just haven't had any time to process anything. So I'm going to speak on Henriksen's behalf, but we just haven't had any time.
Thanks. Any comments on old business? Okay. Moving on to new business. We have a couple of broken people in our department at the moment, unfortunately. One broken toe, one back injury. And in the process of evaluating those, it appears there's no light duty or leave of absence policy relating to injuries that I could find. I spoke to CPS HR today about it. They basically can sort a policy out for us for that from their like boilerplates. So I left that with them to do because they've got the best idea because they understand the legal ramifications of, particularly if you do a leave of absence, mm-hmm. there's a problem. But at the moment, one of our shift officers needs to work light duty and the medical report basically says, can't walk on uneven ground, can't climb ladders, has to be sitting 50% of the time. And there was one more thing, but basically takes him out of the ability to do calls. The shift officers have offered to fill in on his shifts for the next two shifts, I believe, Ryan?
At least two.
Until we get notice back from your medical advisor that you're fit to return to duty.
I think we only
encourage those. Okay. I'll bribe you. Probably the wrong thing to say in a public meeting. I totally lost my thread there. It may come back to me. CPS again have been, they were intending to come in and meet people and chat with them, but the snow and the fires prevented them getting up here. But they've started to engage with the staff members, talk to them, and better understand what makes Ned Fire tick. So that's good news.
Do you know by chance how many staff members they've met with so far?
I think three yesterday and three tomorrow.
Oh, good.
So by the end of this week, they should be in a good position. They said they thought the interviews went really well. Obviously, they didn't tell me the content because it's confidential between the employee and them. But they should produce some recommendations for us based on those interviews. That comes out of that. We received a CORA request regarding 283 Alpine that I sent to the board yesterday. I answered part of it because it was a definite public document. So the request, as the board saw, asked for the board recording from October the 8th, the recordings of the interviews for 283 Alpine, in the investigation, the transcripts for the interviews for 283 Alpine, and a copy of the AAR regarding 283 Alpine. I referred the last three to our attorney. He would like to, in our next regular board meeting, have a special executive session with us to discuss the legal aspects of the last three. He explained them to me, it's pretty complex. We have until the 9th of November to produce or explain why we won't produce. So we will be well within that time period to do that by putting it in that meeting. That was that, really. Any questions on new business?
Do you see the attorney visiting or us having a special executive session next week?
Mm-hmm.
So there's some, it's not just that it's going to be a legal decision by our attorney. It's something that we have to discuss.
Sorry,
and determine.
I did not explain that very well.
No,
So the attorney wants to talk to us because the board has to make the decision about whether they feel that they want to release the documents or whether they want to not release them using the exemptions that he can provide.
And is he prepared to make a recommendation?
Yes. Yeah, he did. He made a recommendation to me yesterday, but I'd rather he explained it to you all because it was legal and complicated. Okay. On that note, if there's no further business from other board members, I'd like to move on to the special executive session. I'm going to make the motion. I move pursuant to Colorado Revised Statutes, Title 24, Article 6, Section 402, at subsection 4F, to go into executive session to discuss personnel issues related to Chief Durr. The matter to be discussed is the re-engagement of the chief on an at-will basis, as agreed in the October 8th meeting. As this executive session involves a personnel matter, the employee involved has been given the opportunity to require that this discussion be conducted in public. At this time, the employee has not indicated how they wish that to be conducted. Rick, as you're on the meeting, how would you like that conducted?
That can be a special executive session, not public.
Okay, I'll make it a private meeting. You all have the details for the private meeting. Is that correct?
Yep.
Rick, you have the details?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ray, you have the details?
I hope I do.
Yeah, well, hopefully it won't change this time. I scheduled it for about 19 hours, so it should be active. Okay. Do I have a second for the motion?
So moved.
Okay. And Henry?
Yep.
Okay. On that note, we're going to adjourn the regular meeting at 1938, and we'll move to the special executive session that I sent out earlier. I will see you all there in a few minutes.